Thank you for joining us on the Overcomers Overcoming podcast series, where we profile those who have overcome or those who are in the process of overcoming any life topic. We have three objectives with this podcast series. Our first objective is we want you to know that whatever you're experiencing in life, whatever you're encountering, you're not alone. We want to enjoin you to let you know that we together can help you through whatever challenge you may have that at the time may seem too difficult to be able to overcome. Our second objective is to help you determine with a very confident resolve there are multiple solutions, multiple factors involved in any life encounter. It's a matter of thinking into and thinking through the life situation you are encountering to determine the various options, the various solutions that are available to you. Our third objective is to help you with critical thinking skills. If whatever you're experiencing is a result of a decision you made sometime in the past, such that if you had a life redo, you would make a different decision, we want to help you determine the objective facts and factors to evaluate to help you reach a more informed decision. I'm Ron Cooper, founder of the Cooper Culture. I'm with my wife and business partner, Marty. Together, we are the Cooper Culture, and the Cooper Culture is sponsoring this podcast series. Today, we feature Candace May Gruber for a third episode, where she continues her conversation of hurts and violations of the past in discussing boundaries. The context of the word boundaries is friendships, those she has forgiven, but how close can a person be who has hurt you, wronged you? Are there boundaries that could apply? And you say something to the effect, yes, we can be friends, but there's a limit to this type thing. It's a very valuable lesson in forgiveness and how do we effectively work with others. Marty, what are some takeaways our listeners can gain from this?
Ron, I do believe in boundaries. And it all depends on the type of violation or the hurt you've had to the extent of the boundary that I believe in. Say it's just a friend that has hurt your feelings and you found out maybe their values are not your values. You can forgive them, and when you see them, be nice to them, but know you don't want to associate with them because their values don't align with yours. To the person that has violated you and you say, I can forgive, but I don't ever want to see that person again, because even though I've forgiven, what I see that person, it reminds me of what happened. So I believe you can forgive, but decide it's not good for you to be around that person.
It is a matter of trust, I believe, Marty. We are in the business of applying biblical principles, not just the way I feel, but what would God say? Let's listen together and learn about this very important topic. Candace May, thank you again for joining us for our third episode. You have experienced a lot of life. That means you've experienced a lot of things you have overcome. That, of course, is what our podcast series is about. You've experienced some things in a previous life you have overcome. You have, in our second podcast, talked about forgiveness. But in the context of overcoming, you've mentioned boundaries. Our listeners are going to be very interested in boundaries and just how that applies to friendships. In the context, you had mentioned it, we can overcome and we can forgive, but then there's some people who may never be in our inner circle to be the close friends that sometimes we do need to establish boundaries. That is my take of some of what you said. And Candace, I want you to please correct anything of maybe a misunderstanding, misapplication of what I just mentioned. But we're very interested in your life experience as relates to boundaries.
Good morning, Ron and Marty. I'm glad to be here with both of you. Boundaries is a big topic. I think it's important. God has boundaries. He's given us boundaries that we should live within, and that is for our protection. God designed us to be his creation, that he would be in charge of the overall picture, we would live in carrying out his authority and dominion. The boundaries keep us safe. So boundaries are important in any relationship, whether that be a husband-wife relationship, a dating relationship, a parent-child relationship, a friendship relationship, or even in the workplace amongst coworkers or leaders and the supportive staff. You asked me to talk about boundaries in the point of what does that look like? When is it safe to reconcile with a partner who's maybe hurt you or with a parent or any person if they've violated you in some way, whether that be physically, emotionally, spiritually? What I wanted to point out was there's Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend are two Christian psychologists who have written numerous books on boundaries, and I love them. I want to share these resources because if somebody really wants to dig into the topic, it's awesome. Boundaries face-to-face, boundaries in marriage, boundaries in parenting, all of their boundary books, they've got their numerous ones. Those are great. But then there's the one called Safe People. And this one I wanted to talk quite a bit about today. How to find relationships that are good for you and avoid those that are not. And when you're reconciling with somebody, are they safe or not? And how much? Before we jump into that, I also want to show you how people grow, what the Bible reveals about personal growth. And it really talks about how personal growth boils down to spiritual growth. And as we grow spiritually and we get back into reconciliation with God and we restore the design of our relationships, that's what it's all about. We weren't made to be alone. We weren't made to live in isolation. We weren't made to be gods. We weren't made to be the ones who judge others. God wanted us to live in life and enjoy it and in its fullness, in a sense, so that we didn't have to be the judge. When we came disobedient and separated ourselves from God, we became judges. We think we can control our own life all by ourselves. We don't need anybody else. We don't need God. And we can decide what's right and wrong. And we can do all of this. And that takes us out of the ideal design that we were designed to live in. So when we restore our relationship with God and begin to grow spiritually, we begin to experience that ability to allow God to be in full control. And we can live inside his boundaries that we were designed to do. As far as us and people, I have some traits here. Unsafe people, the traits of an unsafe person versus the traits of a safe person. These are from Henry and John's book, Safe People. I want to emphasize, as I review these traits of a safe and an unsafe person, as outlined by Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, nobody's perfect. No one is going to be perfect all the time. Even safe people stumble, may become unsafe at moments. So when you measure someone's character, you want to look at these traits in terms of degrees. Look for degrees of imperfection. Everyone lies sometime or another to some degree, but not everyone's a pathological liar. And if a person's willing to change, definitely forgive them graciously and work with them. But if they continue to resist the change, proceed with caution. So that's, I just want to clarify, because it's never anything always black and white. But there are 20 characteristics if you want to go through those. There's 11 personal traits and 9 interpersonal traits of an unsafe person. And you can mirror those for what a safe person looks like. The reason I want to share this is because you asked me, when did you know it's safe to reconcile with somebody? Mm-hmm. Well, you want to make sure they're a safe person. Just say even in the workplace, you want to have people want to work where they feel safe, physically and psychologically. One of the traits of an unsafe person is they seem to have it all together. They don't have any faults. They're perfect. And if you're with somebody who seems to have it all together, you may have feelings of being disconnected, that intimacy and sharing weaknesses and friendships involve sharing vulnerabilities. If they're not sharing any vulnerabilities with you, that may be a concern. If you feel one down from them, like they're better than you all the time, this is an implied superiority that one has no need for another person. If you're feeling weaker than one, then you actually are. This person might give you the sense that you're weaker and you have to rely on them. There's no balance in the relationship. You're not allowed to be strong in and of yourself. That's a red flag. If you're feeling dependent on the strong one. They can't survive without the other person. Those are red flags of unsafe situation. Feeling anger and hostility at being together. They feel stuck in your role. You want to become more, and you're constantly kind of competing to stand up for yourself. These are red flags. Somebody who is safe, on the other hand, will admit their weaknesses, that they're not afraid to say, I have some issues that I need to deal with. I think it's really good when people are in relationship, because we become better in relationship. When we stand all by ourselves in isolation, we can think we're perfect. We can read and think we have all this down. But then we get into a relationship and somebody wants to point out something we've done wrong and we get angry. That's a problem. We should be open to loving others just as they are. Somebody who's constantly defensive is an issue. Somebody who thinks they're better than others, they can't relate to others because they're challenged. They want to be perfect. They're protecting themselves. Somebody who's safe, on the other hand, is much more humble, much more embraces God's grace and mercy. Unsafe people see themselves as somehow good and others as bad. All the badness that's going on is outside of themselves. They don't own any of it. I'm better than you dynamic. It produces a lot of shame and guilt in the people around them. It definitely blocks intimacy because two people are never on even ground. And in a healthy relationship, we are on even ground. We're connected. We're sharing together. If somebody's demanding that you trust them, like, how dare you question me? And you know, you have to respect me. That can be a sign of something unsafe, because trust is earned. It's not something that we can demand. This is an extreme, but some people feel they're entitled to trust. They get defensive and angry because someone questions their actions, and they think they're above being questioned and having to prove their trustworthiness. But none of us are above questioning. Being offended that somebody's questioning us, that's a sign of pridefulness. And even Jesus would say, you don't judge me by my words. Look at my actions. If my actions are true in alignment, then you know you can trust me. Another thing about unsafe people is they're constantly blaming other people for everything, for their life. They're stuck in denial. They're angry. They're bitter. Someone who is healthy will take responsibility for their life. This is hard for people to understand sometimes, because bad things happen in life. We have things happen to us that are not our fault. And now you're telling me I have to take responsibility for it. Somebody hurt me. But yes, if you get run over by a car, it may not be your fault, but you're responsible for the outcome. You're the one who has to go to the hospital. You're the one who has to go through surgery. You're the one who has to go through physical therapy. You're the one who has to take responsibility for counseling, for forgiveness, for getting over the bitterness. Or you're going to be the person who constantly blames. I can't do anything. They hit me. And now this is what happened to me. And you become a victim, and you become angry. And unfortunately, some people stay angry and bitter their entire life. So we have to take responsibility for ourselves. If someone's not taking responsibility for their behavior, that's a red flag. If somebody's stagnant and they're stuck in their ways, very closed-minded, that's also a red flag, because ideally we're growing, they're moving. We all have fixed aspects of our personality and characters that may not totally change. If somebody's very aggressive and outgoing, they may not change that aspect of their personality, but they can control it. We learn self-control so we can manage those dynamics of our behavior. And then for the interpersonal traits of unsafe people, they avoid closeness, kind of isolate themselves, or again, they're not sharing anything intimately about themselves. They're not transparent. And somebody who's more safe is going to connect with you, share transparency. They're going to share those vulnerable things about themselves, because that's how we grow. When we're exposed to other people and we're sharing our concerns or our worries or events that have happened to us, it's through their loving us in the midst of those challenges and vulnerabilities that we begin to grow and become stronger. Somebody who's unsafe might very be focused on their own self-centeredness, what's in it for them. And they're constantly they're never really giving for the sake of giving for the benefit of somebody else. But a more safe person is going to be more focused on the relationship. They're going to practice empathy. They're going to understand what it means for you. What have you gone through in life? Why are you feeling and reacting the way you are? Because they know we're all a conglomeration of the events that have happened to us in life, and our responses and our filters of how we see life come out of our experiences. In a healthy relationship, they're going to try to have empathy to understand where you are and not avoid being close and getting sharing even how they may see or experience something. In an unsafe relationship, there's enmeshment. People try to, they get so wrapped up, they don't know where they end and the other person begins. They can't do things on their own. Everything has to be together to an unhealthy point. We call that enmeshment. But yet in a safe relationship, people are going to honor their boundaries. They're going to have the ability to maintain spiritually and emotional property lines. If you want to go off and have events with friends, you don't have to be together as a couple all the time. Or in the workplace, people can have strong relationships with other people without you feeling threatened because they're connecting without you in the middle of it. People who are unsafe often flatter. They'll avoid being honest with you and giving you truth and challenges of that they see, or they'll always say, oh, everything's fine. And they'll only focus on praise. They won't have any confrontation. Confrontation can be good. It doesn't have to be bad. Another thing that people think, if there's confrontation, that's fighting. It doesn't have to be fighting. We lovingly confront those we love and let them know their behavior has offended us in some way. It helps us when somebody confronts us to become aware of some blind spots what we might otherwise have. Even self-destructive things we do when we don't even know consciously that we're doing them, it's because of the safe people in our life who love us and can bring that up with us that helps us grow. But now an unsafe person may condemn. They may confront in such a way as not to help you grow as an individual, but they're attacking you to tear you down, to let you know you're less than them, to punish you in some way, versus that loving confrontation that is forgiving. Loving confrontation and forgiveness is the glue. The forgiveness piece is the glue of the relationships. Knowing that people love me in the midst of me doing something wrong, that I have an opportunity to get better, that they're going to help me grow through this situation. Maybe you've seen some relationships like this where there's always a parent-child role. You can have a friend even, or somebody in the workplace or a relationship where one of them has to be the parent, the one in charge all the time, and you have to follow. Or one becomes so dependent, they want you to take over and make all of their decisions for them and tell them what they should be doing. That strong power struggle or parent-child relationship dynamic is not healthy. We should be relating as equals. Even when we are in relationships in a workplace where there's a leader and there's a subordinate, I don't think that leader should be lording over them, I'm in charge and you have to follow me and using that positional power. I think they should be recognizing that we're all individuals, that we have something to offer and a strength to bring or perspective to share, and be communicating and speaking as equals. Now, sure, a leader may have to make the final decision, but it's all about the dynamic of the relationship that's there. People who are unsafe are not consistent over time. Safe people are consistent over time. You know what to expect from them. You know they're reliable. They're going to show up. They're consistent. And people who are unsafe, it's kind of like you're walking on eggshells because you don't know when they're going to explode next or what's going to happen. Nobody can really live in an environment where it's that unstable. Think about, what is the influence that they have on you? Are you having a positive influence on them or a negative influence? Are they positively influencing you or negatively influencing you? Safe relationships are going to have a great positive influence on you. And what's interesting about this point is you can be around somebody and maybe they're very follow the rules. They're very much doing the right thing. And you think, oh, they're a positive influence. But maybe you feel like it's a good thing. But when you're with them, you start to absorb some of that and you go out into another relationship and you become more legalistic, if you will, in some regards, which harms other relationships because you're practicing this dynamic. Pay attention to the influence that person is having in your life and how that's rippling through your life and affecting other people? Is it having a good outcome or a bad outcome? Those are things to follow. And then, of course, the gossip versus confidentiality concept. Somebody who's unsafe is going to not hold confidences. They're not going to, you're not going to be able to trust them with your intimate thoughts because you don't know who they're going to go tell or blow into the wind versus somebody who's, you can trust with those confidences. Now, I also want to caution that because you can say, oh, secrets are, you got to keep secrets, but we don't want to keep secrets per se if they're full, but there are things in life that we want to keep private. And so we need to know that some things can be held in confidence and not shared. So those are the guidelines I would share. And those do come out of the book, Safe People. So you can dig deeper into this topic. There's just a wealth of information. These books are enormous. And if you have some people in your life can walk with, if you can find the safe people in your life, that's the inner circle that we want. We want to build a circle, even in business, of safe people who have these character qualities we can trust to keep closest to us.
Candace May, several topics come to mind as you were talking. The topic of the book title, Safe People, I sometimes call it Safe Spaces, to me, positively correlates with trust. Can I trust you? Marty and I have developed a digital relationship course that has to do with dating. And included in that, we have a red flags questionnaire. Very simply, yes, no. Just one of those things is, does this person manipulate me type thing? And if yes to that, if I feel that way, let's identify it early and resolve it so that we can continue relationship to what we hope is a very beneficial end. But I want to ask you, in the context of trust, it's going to be somewhat of a personal question in a very general sense, but there's some people who have been deeply hurt through maybe infidelity, anything similar to that, that person might say, I'm not sure I could ever trust a person of the opposite gender again, because, and then fill in the blank with whatever, I have been so deeply hurt. I'm not sure I could ever, and then fill in the blanks with that. Right now, my mind comes to a song that's very dear to me. Travis Tritt made a song, said, Can I Trust You With My Heart? I think that has much to do with the dating relationship and so forth. Candace, with all that as background, did you ever experience in your life anything similar to, I'm not sure I could ever trust, and then fill in the blank with the gender or whatever? And if yes to that, are you still, or how did you overcome that in the context of boundaries?
Sure, that's happened. Absolutely. Especially initially after some relationship or boundary break has happened, that becomes the first part of your first thing is to retreat, to recover, to. And I think maybe that's good at first, that you're protecting yourself a little bit and giving yourself time to heal and space. But to isolate yourself or cut everybody off because one person violated you is not healthy. We're all about reconciliation. We're all about restoring the proper relationship. And for us to function as designed, we're to be in relationship with other people. As I already said, somebody's hurt you that deeply, how are you going to ever get over it unless you're around other people who are safe and can love you and show you that there is another way to be loved, to be valued, to be treated well? If you have been brought up and abused and gone through a lot of horrific things in life, you're going to have a self-image that might be less than correct. You're not going to see yourself the way God sees you. That's what we want. We want to be able to grow, to see ourselves differently, to see ourselves as a valuable person that God made us to be. And that requires growth, but that requires other people speaking life into us and speaking confidence to us. Sometimes we have to find someone safe and allow them to believe in us to a point that I can do something or be something, or they see me in a way that I don't see myself so that I can absorb that. We have to absorb love. That's why it's important to be in relationship with God, because God can pour love into us. You know, we read his word, we experience safe people around us, and we grow and we fill, and we suddenly see ourselves in a different way than we did before. And we see the value of what I'm God's creation and he made a fabulous thing. And who am I to judge God's handiwork? He made me. He knows what's best for me. Each of us have our unique characteristics and personality styles and strengths, which make us beautifully unique, like a fingerprint. Everyone is unique. We're unique in our experiences, unique in our education, unique in all of these various dynamics. And we only can appreciate when we find these safe people to love on us and help us and point out to us when we're saying something that's destructive or we're doing something that's not healthy. Then we go, really? Oh, well, that's sometimes we're stuck and that's all I ever knew. I don't even know that that's bad because that's all I was exposed to. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction in the human state when we're apart from God to isolate ourselves, to cut ourselves off, to say, I don't want to be around anybody else who's going to hurt me this way. But it's also good to know that that was an exception and extreme, and there is healing beyond that, that you can begin to get restored and grow beyond it.
Who do you know who may be struggling with, who may be stressed about someone who is almost to the point of being mentally overtaken by being hurt, violated, something to the effect that they don't have the relationship with another person they would like to have? God designed us, God created us to want and need connected relationships. When we don't have that, we feel isolated, alone. It's a matter of stress. We have been taken advantage of when we have been violated, hurt, any similar term. We feel that we are no longer worthy of. There are any number of feelings that come into this. I want to encourage you to think of and reach out to that person whom you can be a source of hope, source of strength, just to let them know you care about them, you're thinking of them. And if you are a life coach or otherwise, you can be a source of encouragement to those people. I want to encourage you to be just that, because there are a lot of people who are hurting for various reasons. Let's reach out and provide hope to those people. God designed every one of his creation, and God created every one of us to want and need and function best with relationships. And so I want to ask you, Candace, about a call to action to a person who has been deeply hurt. And in the context of boundaries, maybe they are at a point in their life where they've set up a wall and they have said mentally, I'm not going to allow anyone to get close enough to me to hurt me again the way I've been hurt. But yet, I think you've emphasized the fact that to have a healthy life, we do need relationships, but we need to be able to discern the safe people, the safe spaces. For the person who has maybe that mental wall up that I'm not sure I want to relate to anybody again because I've been so deeply hurt, how would you help that person through a call to action to overcome their so deep hurt, violated feelings that it is appropriate to have boundaries, but it's not as good. It's not helpful to have a wall if I have adequately discerned what you're saying.
Let me start with this. Hurt people hurt people. So if we're so tightly protecting ourselves, we could be walking around hurting other people and not even realize it. How do you feel when you go to say hello to somebody and they're rude to you? Or you're trying to have a relationship with somebody and they're kind to them. You're kind to them, but yet they're curt and cold and non-responsive. It kind of hurts, doesn't it? Somebody, I think, needs to step outside of themselves and realize they're upset that people aren't embracing them, that they haven't experienced a healthy relationship. They've been so hurt, they're going to isolate themselves to protect themselves. They build a hard shell around themselves. But they don't stop to think about how they're making other people feel. So it's not only for their own goodness, it's also for the sake of others that we need to become aware. If you're not caring enough about yourself, or you think you're caring enough about yourself to protect yourself, realize when you get to that point that you're not going to let anybody get that close to you, that you've now become the perpetrator. You're now hurting other people as well. That might help somebody say, oh gosh, that's harsh. I never thought of myself that way. I was just protecting myself. But we need to think about, are we able to receive? I could have a beautiful gift to give you, and I want to give you a gift, but if you're not willing to accept the gift, it's meaningless. When we protect ourselves so much that we can't, what we have to do when we're in a violent situation is not what we should be doing when we're in a healthy relationship. If we continue the behaviors that we took on to self-preserve ourselves in a horrible situation and carry it through with us throughout the rest of our lives, we're going to be handicapping ourselves. Does that make sense?
It does. And Candace, I want to thank you on behalf of our listeners for being very candid with us, very vulnerable. There are some who have been very deeply hurt, and they're going to almost isolate themselves from others, the world, and so forth. And we don't maybe at the time really understand how damaging that can be to us and others. But I think one of the things you're saying, and I'm not, you certainly tell me if I'm not assimilating what you're saying correctly, we do need to establish good relationships where God designed us to have relationships. Doesn't have to be hundreds, but we need at least one or two. A person with whom we can confide, it could be sometimes we call it an accountability partner, but someone with whom we feel we can be honest with, vulnerable is another term. And that person loves us enough, they want to help us over, help us through what we're going through. Our Lord is our most important, at the top of the list, person with whom we need a relationship. But then, quite honestly, there are earthly relationships, humans, that we need as well, those who care enough about us and love us. And so, Candace, there are a lot of hurting people. You and I are around them right now, and we want to reach out to particularly those who are listening to this podcast, and they're saying, I feel like you're speaking directly to me. I'm hurting. I'm not okay. I want someone to reach out and help me. I want everybody to know who's listening to this podcast right now, Marty and I sponsoring this podcast, Candace May, I suspect you as well, would be willing to reach out to anybody who says, I just need somebody with whom I can develop a safe space to be able to express myself, to say, I'm not okay, and help me to go through whatever I'm going through. Have I mischaracterized anything you said?
No, I think that's right on target. We're here to grow together, to become the people that God wanted us to be. We need to be whole. We need to be restored in relationship. You know, God has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by design. He's always in communion, and we have individuals. His Spirit comes to live in us, to comfort us, to guide us. And that Spirit connects with others who are safe. But we have to know there are unsafe people in the world. You can't just go up to somebody and say, I confided in this person and they hurt me too. Realize that you probably have a broken picker. You're going to need to get some counseling. You're going to need to get an accountability partner. You need to be careful in who you're picking to be your safe people. And you're going to need some help in learning those skills. Just reading a book or listening to this podcast and hearing these traits of what is good and safe and what is not safe isn't enough. We have to learn to absorb these and be able to use discernment and utilizing. We need to become a safe person. We may be the one who's not safe. As I said, hurt people hurt people. And when we get hurt and we don't heal, we become unsafe people. And nobody wants to think of themselves as an unsafe person. But I challenge you to think about that. If you've protected yourself so much, so not taking the responsibility that you have to seek out health, to seek out healing, to seek out forgiveness, then you probably are an unsafe person. And you've become just like that perpetrator who hurt you. And I don't mean to say that in a mean way. I mean to say that in a very loving way, to say, get help, reach out, do something to strengthen yourself and your self-worth so that you can see yourself the way God sees you, as someone of value.
Candace, on behalf of our listeners, thank you for sharing from your heart, and you have helped a lot of people to overcome. Thank you. We appreciate your heart.
Glad to be here.
I hope you'll choose to engage with us on the topic of hurts, violations, things said to and about us, and how we react to that long term. I am speaking of the topic of forgiveness. I'm talking about being relieved of the devastation, the sometimes subconscious aspects of being violated. Some of those subconscious aspects stay with us for a lifetime. We've been violated to the point where our values, our worth, anything of that nature have been just destroyed or at least severely damaged to where we doubt ourselves, our future. How do we establish a recovery plan from that? How do we overcome the past of such devastating consequences that at the time, and very possibly when we are alone, we can't even think about how we're going to recover from such a devastating situation. As Candace May has relayed portions of her life where she's been violated and other similar activities have occurred in her life, she, through a process of forgiveness and overcoming and understanding her life purpose, she's been able to recover from much of the past. It's a lifetime journey she's on. She's passing forward the lessons she has learned from the past. I hope you'll choose to engage with us. Let us know any experiences you have, personal experiences of being violated, hurt, and so forth. How did you overcome? Are you having problems overcoming? And the person who did you wrong, violated you, whatever, how did you seek forgiveness? And then how do you establish boundaries in the context of relationships? I am not here to suppose that anyone who forgives should have that person, that is the topic of forgiveness, included in your close circle of friends. I'm not supposing that at all. It's very possible you will, for the rest of your life, remain guarded, if that's an appropriate term, at least very aware of the possibilities and possibilities of being hurt again. It is a matter of becoming a safe person and being a safe space for people. Can we be that to others? I know we can. It is a matter of reaching out to others to provide that safe space as we empathize with those who are going through various life traumas, recollections, or whatever the term is of having relived life, or we relive life at the prompting of various statements, events, and so forth. It's a very important topic, and I hope you'll choose to engage with us. Everybody can benefit from a life coach. Marty and I are certified through the John Maxwell Enterprise, and we help people to reckon with or deal with the subconscious, things that have been said to or about people that end up dictating their life when enough statements are made to prompt the various things that evoke the subconscious, and those thoughts tend to become dominating thoughts to some people's lives. We hope you'll choose to engage with us. Call us, communicate with us, and let's schedule a 30-minute complimentary coaching session. Contact us at ron@thecooperculture.com or Marty, M-A-R-T-Y, @thecooperculture.com. Let's schedule a 30-minute complimentary coaching session to see if we are the right persons to help you overcome the past and live your God-given potential. We hope we can warrant a 5-star rating with this podcast and this podcast series. We hope you'll choose to share this podcast with your Facebook friends, your Instagram community, your LinkedIn connections, and all other people with whom you have a relationship. We want to get this word out. We want to advance people. We want to help people to live their God-given potential. And we want people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In the context of a total fulfilling life, having that relationship, that connected relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose finished work on the cross made it possible that we can spend an eternity with Him. It is through that relationship, that very fulfilling relationship, that we can overcome anything in life. Marty and I want to engage with you to make known Jesus in your life and have that very fulfilling relationship that Marty and I and Candace May have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We look forward to interacting with you, engaging. Let's share insights. Let's advance other people. We look forward to working with you.